This podcast is in association with In the Moment magazine, mindful ways to live your life well. On sale now in Waitrose, WH Smith and Sainsbury's. Today on Radio Gorgeous, we have writer Natalie Liu, who is a podcaster, self-publisher, mama and general badass. The theme of our discussion is being yourself. Hi, Natalie. Welcome back onto Radio Gorgeous.
It's good to be back.
Yeah, it was such a great podcast. We had thousands of hits, so thank you so much for coming on.
My pleasure.
So can you tell us now about in the past, when you're not being honest about being who you really are? Can you tell us the consequences?
When we are not being ourselves, which, you know, a lot of people go, what the hell does being yourself actually mean? Because it feels like this really abstract concept that gets talked about a lot, but nobody actually knows what the hell it actually means and what to do.
Absolutely.
and I say, well, actually, it's all being yourself is all the things that you would do and all the things that you'd be if it wasn't for those voices in your head going, you must do this, you shouldn't do that. You know, it's all these rules that aren't really rules. And when we are not ourselves, the consequence is that our needs, desires, expectations, feelings, beliefs, ideas, they all get suppressed. They all get put on the back burner as such, pretending to be something that we're not. So actually, some people will think that we are insincere when that's actually not our intention. And we will find that we say yes to things that we really should be saying no to, and that we often have the wrong types of people around us. We might be in a job that we hate, you know, or pursuing a career that's really somebody else's career, somebody else's dream. And that we also might find ourselves in relationships, in friendships, you know, in situations that are really so outside of who we are as a person. And we always know we're not really being ourselves. And we look at ourselves in the mirror and we don't really like what we see. We're losing our self-respect.
Do you think this happens more to women than men, and why?
I think that actually it does. I mean, it's not to say that it doesn't happen to men, it does. But I do think actually that women have been socialized to be kind and good and pleasing and meek and mild. And it's because that has been this message that's been pressed upon us from an early age, we don't know what sometimes being those other things. We associate them with being rude and difficult and dramatic and all the rest. And we are basically told, be good and you will be liked. Be good and you will be pleasing. Be good and you will get the grades. Work hard and you will get the grades. If you're not that bright, don't worry, work hard and you'll please the teachers and you'll be liked. Then it becomes go to university and you will get the job. And then it becomes work hard at your job and you will get the praise and the promotion and all the rest. Please your partner, you know, wear the right underwear, you know, cook the right meals, you know, and all the rest, and you will be happy. That is just so not the case. And the thing is that at school, we can do, for instance, a test and we can get a grade of, let's say, an A. But that's not the way that the rest of life works. And so we get into things like university and our job and our relationships as women. And we go, hold on a second. I'm doing all the things. Like, I am working hard. I'm breaking my neck. I'm being pleasing. I'm compromising. I'm sacrificing myself. How come she's just come breezing in here and she's got the promotion? Or how come she's got the guy or the girl? Or, you know, why is that person having the opportunities? And it feels really confusing to us. And what we're not realizing is we've actually spent our whole lives pretending to be something that we don't even realize it, because it's as natural to us as breathing. We're so busy playing a role. And this is something that we talked about in, you know, in the other episode about core values, where we play roles and it's like, oh, this is my job. It's my job to be good. It's my job to be the overachiever. You know, it's my job to be the super responsible one. It's my job even to be the failure of the family. And actually, it's not. Like, none of those things that we think are our job. And if you've got this heavy inner critic in your head going, don't do this, don't do that, you should do this, that's not you.
So we've got the voice, we've got our parents, we've got our partners, we've got our children, we've got everyone that if we say, oh, we've got a great idea, they can even laugh at us. How do we get past the people and the thoughts to find our authentic selves?
it's not an overnight thing. It's somewhat of a journey of exploration, because we can be so used to that critical inner noise that we don't even know that it's critical inner noise. And I'm an example of this, that when I sort of experienced that summer in my life when things were sort of having this dramatic change for me, I had something that got on my nerves. I think something had happened at work, and I was at home for a whole day, and I'm not kidding you, it took until from morning till evening, it took until the evening before I realized that I had literally spent the entire day criticizing and berating and punishing myself in my head.
And you'd never really noticed this voice before?
No. And the thing is, it had always been there. I mean, once I actually caught myself and I went, oh my God, I have been listening to this all day. It was calling me worthless, good for nothing. Of course you're going to screw this up. Da, 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 da. People always let you down. You always let people down. It went on and on and on. And
whereabouts was it in the head? Can you kind of describe it?
I always describe it like you know, when you listen to, when you have the radio on low volume, and you actually don't necessarily know exactly what's playing, but you're picking
it's
it up.
A bit of white noise.
Yeah, that's what your inner critic can be like. Mm. So it can be like this, it's recordings of, you know, criticism and commentary that you've picked up all throughout your life. And then the stuff that you've obviously said, and it gets activated in certain situations. Mm. So, you know, it could be a stress situation. It could be, often it shows up when you are in a situation where you're stretching out of your comfort zone. Mm. And so when your inner critic, still living back there in like 1983, so it still thinks it's 1983. So it's very overzealous and it wants to scare the crap out of you to make you compliant. The funny thing about the inner critic as well is that it only has really one thing that it does, which is criticize. So no matter what you do, it's going to criticize you. I would hear, it would feel like this really overbearing presence in my head, this really big, loud, it wasn't my voice.
So it was getting louder and louder, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Because obviously if it doesn't feel you're paying attention, you know, it's got to really sort of go for it.
It's got to shout.
Yeah. And a lot of people, I think, they will say to me, like, how do I recognize my inner critic? Mm-hmm. And or how do I recognize it from my inner voice? Well, your inner voice will tend to be quieter. It's not disrespectful. It won't always tell you exactly what you want to hear, because that's not the job of the inner voice. But it is all about, like, how things are. And it's always taking care of you. It's not going to call you names. It's not going to shame you. It's not going to start throwing incidences from 50 years ago in your face or anything like that. It will tell you how to be okay right now.
It'll also give you a sense of peace.
It will. Mm. Whereas the inner critic, you know, I say to people, like, give it a name, you know, make it into a character.
Okay, so what's yours called?
I call mine Joyce.
Okay. And she's a woman.
Yeah, she's a woman. And you know, she's the type, like a lot of inner critics, that, you know, you could say, I'm gonna go, I don't know, into London, and you know, Joyce is the type of go, oh, but you know, it's gonna rain tomorrow. It's okay, I've got an umbrella. Oh, well, you know, there's gonna be a bombing. And you know, so that's what the inner critic is like, is just gonna keep throwing and throwing and throwing stuff at you because it wants you to do what it wants you to do. And on top of that, it wants you to be like a fortune teller. So if your inner critic had its way, it would want you to guarantee that something's going to happen in the year like 2150. Mm-hmm. And you can't with your inner critic. You can't satisfy that because it's just ego. Listening to ourselves, it does actually require us to slow down, to notice when we're feeling uncomfortable, that icky feeling that we get, and it shows up in different ways. Some of us get that sickening feeling in the pit of our stomach. Some of us actually might suddenly get, like, you know, sort of a feeling in our chest.
I get cold, clammy hands and feel panicky.
Yeah, that's your body trying to let you know, hey, pay attention, you know, get grounded, listen to yourself. And it's noticing, for instance, those situations where you are saying yes when you really need to say no. And I say to people, spend like a week just observing. Get a post-it note or an index card or your journal and just make a note of all those instances when people are ask you to do stuff or where you feel as if you're supposed to do something. And just make a note. You can, you know, tick it off. You might make a note of who was around, what was going on. People always come back to me and go, oh my God, I did not realize how much of my week is spent in a state of anxiety about all the yes that I'm giving out and feeling wary about this person approaching me and that person approaching me. And it's also coming back into being ourselves actually is about differentiating between desire and obligation. And you are never being yourself when you're doing something out of obligation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't like washing up. And I must say, when I'm doing it, quite often this little niggly thing in my stomach comes up going, ooh, and I'm, what is that?
Yeah, it's like this irritation. Yeah, and it's very possible that on some level, washing up is associated with something else.
Yes,
from,
I think it
from,
is.
From
yeah.
the past. Yeah. And so I've had that actually, what you're talking about with vacuuming.
I'm so pleased it's not just me.
And I think it happens at certain times.
Sort of resentment.
Yeah, it was. You know what it is? My mum used to sometimes be like a nutter about cleaning. Yeah. She would just go absolutely ape at us about cleaning. And you know, she would sometimes be vacuuming. She'd talk about how exhausted and put upon and all these things. And of course, actually, I actually totally empathise because that's, you know, what was her experience. That actually, you know, motherhood is not easy. But I realised that when I'm feeling that irritation, I would now have to look at myself and go, hold on a second, where am I not actually turning around and saying to somebody else, can you do this? Or I need you to do this. And so as women in particular, we do have a habit of piling ourselves up with stuff. And actually, I spoke with a group of women about this a few days ago, and we said, we carry on as if the sky is going to fall down if we don't do like all of these things that we feel that we are supposed to do, that we should do. And then something comes along, like for me, you know, my father passed away earlier on this year.
I'm sorry.
And I needed to take time off. I had to just take time off immediately. And I actually took several weeks off. Do you know what, Josephine? World was still turning. It didn't matter that I hadn't sent an email newsletter or that I hadn't, you know, done a podcast or that I hadn't done this or I hadn't
done
that.
You haven't done your Instagram, you haven't done your Twitter. It didn't
matter about like the house or all these things. Mm.
Wow, so life carried on.
Carried on. And we have to recognise where we're sort of piling ourselves up, I think.
Mm-hmm. No, I really, really agree with that.
It's a lot of the things that we expect of ourselves or that we tell ourselves other people expect of us is actually what we expect of us, that we pile on ourselves.
And we have got these values or ideas about what we should be from, as you know, like family or friends or magazines or Instagram. You know, oh my God, my house has got to, you just said your kitchen's been done up. Now, you probably spend a lot of time going through magazines thinking, I want that kitchen, I want that, you know.
Yeah.
And like the pressure on yourself, you know.
It can be. And I mean, you know, a lot of people look at Instagram, for instance, and you know, I've had those moments. You look at Instagram and you see somebody's perfectly, you know, tidy home, you know, achingly stylish. And you go, geez. I need to run around here with a duster and a vacuum cleaner and get myself sorted out in here. You know, we can...
But you've got a million other things to do because you've got two children, you've got a business, you've got a husband, you've got to exercise, you've got to do meditation,
there's so many things to do. And it does feel like... I mean, it's funny. I think as women, we, as you say, we hold ourselves to these very lofty standards and we have these ideas about who we're supposed to be. And, you know, I call it, you know, we try to be cool girl. And
or yummy mummy.
I will talk to women and they will say, I'm not like those other women. You know, I don't carry on all dramatic and needy. And I'm like, no, you basically behave as if you have no needs at all. Mm. And can you imagine exactly what type of person you must be attracting when you're behaving as if you have no needs? And it's a bit like going in, you know, when you get those credit cards with a low introductory offer.
Yes, we all know that.
And so you've got the 0% credit for the first year. But that's what you're doing when you try to act as if you're like this super cool person who doesn't have needs and who does all these various different things. And then what happens is, of course, you do have needs. You're a human. You think, oh, well, I can slip them in now because I've earned the right to after a year of putting myself on the back burner. You know, I've talked to other women. I used to work with a woman, actually, who she'd be out golfing like every Saturday, like 5 a.m. with some guy that she was going out with. She would say she claimed to love all these various different sports. And she said one morning she was at the golf course, absolutely frozen with the latest guy. And she saw herself and she's like, I am ridiculous. I don't even like golf that much. Wow. It was all this pretense of trying to be like this cool girl who's really into sports. You don't have to like sports in order to be, you know, with a guy. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think the worst, actually, and it's a fictional example, but I think it's a brilliant way of illustrating how this can get out of hand. But Gone Girl, which obviously there's the book and the film, but the book is way better than the film. But she, Amy is Cool Girl in that she basically puts herself across to him as being the super cool girl. She's into this drink, that drink. She dresses this way. She's very laid back. She's into this sexually and whichever. And it was all a complete act. And when he then cheated on her, she felt absolutely resentful, because that's how a lot of women feel. They spend their lives sacrificing themselves, playing these parts, and then they get cheated on or passed over for the job. Or, you know, they have problems with a friendship group, or their family, you know, ignore them once again and, you know, favoritize somebody else. And it's like, yeah, these are all messages from life saying, forget all of this crap. Start trying to listen to yourself and figure out what feels good and right for you. That's why I say the desire and obligation thing is really important. So when you go, oh, I have to do this, or like somebody like me has to do that, you go, okay, but what do you want to do? And that can be pretty revealing, because sometimes actually we don't want to do anything at all. We don't want to do this thing at all. And that means we should not be doing it.
Yeah, why not just have a night in with your pajamas and eat ice cream and watch, you know, Netflix?
Oh, but that was me. Mm. Like, I used to be out every Friday and Saturday night, combing London, looking for, you know, my future husband.
I love it. Combing London. And then, I love that expression.
The last, I found it, funny enough, from about the year before I met my husband, I found it some Friday nights, I was having a great night in with myself. I had 24 on. I lay in my knickers on the sofa with a pint of ice cream, chilling out, and it was bliss. This pressure that I had on myself to be dolled up to the nines in a pair of shoes that was killing my feet, you know.
Lucky flats are in now.
Yes, that's true, actually. But I'm only like 5'3", just barely. So, you know, I was always going to be out in the heels on a Friday night. And you just suddenly realize, like, I don't want to pretend to be these things. That's one of the things. I turned 40 a few months ago. And I've spoke to a lot of women, actually, who resonate with this. And I just suddenly thought to myself, I can't be bothered to do all of this, like, oh, I must do this and I must do that stuff. And, you know, I always call myself a recovering people pleaser. That tendency to please is in there, and it can be activated just like that. You have to catch it. But I said to myself, do you know what? I'm reaching a stage in my life where I just don't give to. And I don't mean it in a...
like, selfish way.
Selfish way. Mm. I mean that we spend far too much time caring about stuff that really we do not need to. We spend too much time caring about other people's opinions. And it's okay to be conscientious. But that's very, very different to being over-empathetic, where you're literally trying to take up residence in other people's shoes and try to figure out what they feel and what they think. And then you're going to try and fix that. That's no way to live.
So the key to being yourself is?
Is to... be and do all the things that you're basically telling yourself that you shouldn't. Ignore all the rules, those fake rules inside your head, and push past those and get to the, you know, the core really of who you are.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Natalie, for coming on to Radio Gorgeous.
I absolutely loved it. Thank you.
And to read more about the issues we've talked about today, go to the 9th edition of In the Moment magazine, on sale now in Waitrose, WH Smith and Sainsbury's. This podcast was produced by RadioGorgeous.com 2018.